I know we've talked about technology before with me, and it's rearing its ugly head again today. Sorry, Julie. So, today the title of the message, I don't even know what I told Julie to put in there, Independence Day, Freedom in Christ. That was as of Wednesday or Thursday when she called and wanted to know what we were going to speak about today, and I was pretty certain that's what it was, and then some other things happened Friday, and then yesterday was not the way I'd envisioned it to go. And I share this because 23 years of marriage, I got a swimsuit that's red, white, and blue, like the American flag, and I was going to wear it today. No, I'm not Speedo. It's long short. But after 23 years of marriage, I've learned that there's just certain things that I'm not going to do. So I'm going to use the American flag here instead. You know, those shorts were bought as a gag, I think, one time, because they thought I wouldn't wear them. We went camping. I secretly packed them, and I showed up the pool with those shorts on. There was about four of them that were crawling under lawn chairs because they were pretty embarrassed. So I decided against that. But as we think about America, and we think about what was America built on, why did people first come to America? Why was the war with Britain so important? What were we striving to get? That's where somebody can answer. Freedom of religion. Freedom of religion. Okay? So that's what our country was built on. And, you know, unfortunately my technology is not going to work. I had these pretty neat stats that I was going to pull up, and I even saved it to my desktop, but for some reason I can't get it to load, so whatever. But some of the stats were, only in America do you have handicapped parking at a skating rink. Or only in America does somebody order a double quarter pounder of cheese, large fry, and a Diet Coke. That's me, by the way. That is me. Okay? I forget some of the other ones. They were all kind of funny that made you think. But then you thought about it, and I was like, you know, a lot of these are very true. Other countries probably look at us now and think, man, they are a bunch of undisciplined people. So, and then that got me to thinking, okay, you know, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, Patrick Henry, they all used God in statements. We had them in the Declaration of Independence. We had them in, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance. We had them in a lot of things that our country was built around. Okay, and then I thought, well, okay, when I was a kid, I remember I had a teacher that before we went to lunch, she said a prayer. Probably not going to happen today. Not because the teachers wouldn't, but we are not even allowed to have the Ten Commandments posted in the school. So I've changed the title to Happy Birthday, and I'll say it like Lindsay says it, America. Because that's where I think we are right now. We can't say America because we always want the what is in the minute, what we want, not what somebody else wants. And now that somebody we're talking about is God. You know, the other thing that cracks me up is, and I'm sure it was all good, well-intended at one point, but whenever a president gets done with a speech, what's his last words? God bless the USA or God bless America. May God bless America. So we're asking God to bless America. What have we done? All we've done is tear him down, take him out of everything, but then our president and our politicians are bad. But are they really any worse than you or I? Because what have we done in our lives to justify being able to ask God to bless us? Okay, so as we move forward, I have several passages we're going to use. I'm going to start in 2 Timothy. And we're going to go to chapter 6. Chapter 2. Sorry. And we're going to start in verse 1. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is Christ Jesus. In the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. Rather, they try to please their commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive his share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. So this is Paul. No. What? He's talking and he's saying, hey, there's only one way here. And that is, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know, you can go out and worry about these other things, but it's through this grace in Christ Jesus. I'd be remiss if I didn't. I know it's not Memorial Day. I know it's not Veterans Day. But briefly, indulge me for a second. Is there anyone who served in a conflict or war here today? Stand up, Doug. Stand up, Bill. Anyone who has lost a loved one in a conflict or war? Jump up, Becky. Is there anyone that is a family member of someone actively serving today? Lastly, is there anyone here that's serving our military today? Okay. I want you to take a look around, guys, because freedom is not free. Freedom is not free. These people all made a choice, or their loved one made a choice to stand up and serve America. Thank you, by the way. You know, also those of you who know, Lindsay leaves in 3 weeks. So we're not going to do it today, but I think I want her to come forward at some point, and I want the church to pray for her. You know, now is she going into a conflict? Probably not. Is she going to go into where I think she's going to be shipped all over the world? Probably not. But from a dad perspective, it scares the bejeebers out of me. Again, I've said it before, I'm proud of her for the decision to serve our country, but I'm scared to death at what that could be. The price for freedom is not free. Okay? So, thank you for your service. Thank you. And again, I know it's not Veterans Day, but I wanted you to realize just how small of a community this is and how much the price for freedom affects us. Because there was 5, 6, 7 people here that in one way or another have paid the price for our freedom. As we move into the scriptures, when he says, "You then, my son," who's he talking to? He's talking to Wes? Me? Matt? No, he's talking to everybody. He's talking to the church. He's talking to the church. "Be strong in the grace that is Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will be qualified to teach others." Teaching is not something to be taken lightly. Teaching is something that you're called to do. You know, Brittany and Chris are our teachers, and thank goodness that they are called to that, because some of the junk they put up with, if you're not called into that, it's going to be miserable. And the same goes for teaching in the church. If you are not called into teaching God's Word and called into teaching how we act, how we respond, it's going to be miserable. You're going to beat your head against the wall. It's going to be, nobody's going to want to come to your class. You know, it'll kind of be like when Les and Matt are not there and I end up having to teach him. It's like, oh gosh, Matt, really? But if you're not called into teaching, don't teach. But notice it doesn't say, you just let your teachers go. It says, teach them the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses. And then trust them to relay the message. So that's as much about the church as it is about the teacher. Because the church, sometimes we want to jam stuff down. Not necessarily this church. I'm just saying churches in general. We want to jam our agenda on everybody instead of trusting the people we have in place to teach, to lead music, to preach, for crying out loud. We have to trust in the leaders. We have to trust. And I say that because it's hard right now in America to trust our leaders sometimes. But we have to trust. Because when we're trusting our leaders, we're also trusting who? God. He's equipped them to be the leaders. You know, the funny thing about leadership is, does good leaders, does everybody agree with all the time? No. And I can tell you, I don't agree with the government a lot. But I respect the job they do, and I trust that they're doing it for the right reason. And then, you know, in verses 3, 4, and 5, it compares soldiers, athletes, and farmers. You know, the soldiers, they're not going to get involved in civilian affairs. Okay. The athletes, they're going to train to win the crown, but they're going to do it the right way. There is no shortcuts with Christianity, guys. It's not a, I'm going to get baptized, and then I'm a finished product. It's a process. You know, and Les kind of hit it on the head this morning. He said, you know, it's been kind of neat to see the way these messages all tie together. And I said, well, brother, trust me, this one, God's going to be in control, because I've struggled and I've wrestled with this since Thursday, since Wednesday. I thought I was done, and now it's totally different. And technology failed me, so... Hey, this is not Matt. This is God pulled me to this scripture. God's pulling me the words out because I'm just a simpleton. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. And then he goes on in verse 8. Remember, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. I want you to put yourself in those shoes. You know, in prisons nowadays, jails, prisons, whatever, I don't think we chain anybody other than when we're transporting them. He was chained to a wall or to a pole in the middle of the cell, whatever it may be. Probably didn't get out of those chains. But he says, I will endure. I am willing to suffer to the point of being chained like a criminal. But here's the great news. God's word is not chained. And I'm going to add one more word, or change. It doesn't change depending on our circumstance. It is constant, like this rain. It is constant. It is always the same, no matter what situation we are in. And I know you're going to say, oh, well, how come there's so many different translations? How many there's so many different interpretations? Because as churches, as Christians, sometimes we manipulate those words to fit what we want. This book is perfect. This God is perfect. Take the words for what they are. Here is a trustworthy saying in verse 11. And I love this. It's way too early to finish, but this ties everything together. If we died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we disown Him, He will also disown us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. Because He cannot disown Himself. So, if we live with Jesus in our hearts, and we die with Jesus in our hearts, that's good news. That is good news, because we are going to live with Him eternally. Not for 23 years, not for 75 years, forever. Now, sometimes things don't go our way, correct? Right? It's not all just rainbows and butterflies. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. God puts situations in our lives to teach us, to check, to make sure we're applying what we hear on Sundays, what we read in the Bible. Sometimes we fail. Sometimes we fail miserably. But God doesn't want us to just quit at that point. He says endure. Anybody know what endure means? I hope so, because I don't want to give my definition of endure. Matt, what's it mean? To stand firm and to stand and do not ever give up. Kind of like the toad with the toadstool. I think that's the right one, right? Where it's pouring down rain. Is that right? It says, I will not give up, I will not give up. Or maybe it's, I don't, whatever. That was a dumb. That's Matt. I think it might have been the toad in the snake's mouth, actually. It says, I will not give up. That's probably what it was, okay? But God doesn't want us to quit. He wants us to endure. That's too many syllables for me. I don't like that. Because, man, that sounds like a lot of work. You know, Chris has endured 23 years with me, and it has been a lot of work, I guarantee. Quick little snippet of yesterday. Coca-Cola, their loaders are on strike in Akron. Should not affect me. 2:30 Friday afternoon, I'm on my way home. I've got an early day. I'm like, yeah, it's a holiday weekend. It's our anniversary weekend. It's going to be good. 2:30, my boss calls and says, what are you doing this weekend? I said, spend time with my family. He said, well, Akron's on strike, and their loader's on strike, and you're one of the names that were brought up to go up there. And I said, no, I'm not going. I'm not going. He said, well, think about it and call me back. That's Ron. I don't need to call you back. I'm not going. So about 10 minutes later, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, what happens? Because, you know, I'm kind of like at the middle of the hill, but still stuff rolls downhill. And I'm thinking, man, what in the world's going to happen? Are these guys going to be mad if I tell them flat out no, that I'm not going? So I call him back and I said, hey, what's the repercussion if I don't go? He said, no, I don't think anything. He said, but let me do some research and find out, you know, what their expectation is. So about an hour and a half later, I thought I was off the hook. About an hour and a half later, he calls and says, hey, I need you to go up there tomorrow at 9 to 4. And that was it. There was no, can you go? No. It was, you're going tomorrow, 9 to 4. So I was like, well, boy, this is going to be fun. Because Chris and I had planned to go. There's a place in Delaware that serves a hamburger. It's about this big round. And we were going to go there and eat. And, you know, we were going to go at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Because if you go at 8 o'clock at night, forget about getting in. Well, so that plan got scratched. But now that I'm thinking about this and I'm looking back, and God wants me to endure. Even when I don't like it. Even when I kick and scream because I don't like it. And I did a lot of that Friday. And matter of fact, by kicking and screaming, I got Friday, this next Friday also. I have a 3-day weekend next Friday because I told him, you need to send me a relief guy if I'm going. I want Monday off. Well, he couldn't give me Monday, but he gave me Friday. So, you know, it works out. It ruined our plan for yesterday. But since Chris has been married to me for 23 years, she understands that there's going to be a little give and take because Matt's not really a plan guy anyway. But so we're going to go at some point and get that burger as big as your head because we love them. And I'll probably order a Diet Coke. But we want to endure. Here's the one thing. If we disown him, he will also disown us. So instead of, well done, good and faithful servant, we hear, get away from me, I know you're not. It's a dangerous line. It's a dangerous line. You know, God doesn't want us to be perfect. But I think it's pretty clear right there. You better not say, I don't know him. But then here in 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. God is perfect. Guys, if you don't know that by now, we don't deserve anything that we have. God is perfect, and he will not turn his back on us. Thank the Lord for that. Now, if you'll just turn with me, 2 Chronicles. I want to look at one verse. This is actually the passage I was going to use for the whole message. And God said, I really like you to use Timothy because I want you to see just how faithful I am. But 2 Chronicles 7, and it's verse 14. Actually, I'm going to start in 13. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Came back to that verse because it's America's birthday. And we have a sick land. And he lays it out. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Guys, all we can do for America right now, short of those of us that are serving our country, is number one, have our job and pay our taxes. But number two, most important, pray for our leaders. Pray for America. We were built on religious. We wanted religious freedom. We have it. What are we doing with it? Pray for America. You know, it's a great country. I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. Because I can't stand the thought of being here on Sunday and knowing that if a cop comes by, he can come in and throw open the doors and shoot every one of us down. I'm glad we don't have that. You know, I'm glad we don't have a government that says this is the religion you're going to follow, whether it's Hindu, Buddhist, whatever. And there is no Christianity. You were following the book of Allah or whatever. Okay? We live in a great country. We have to make America great again. And all it requires us to do is to pray to Him. You know, if you don't pray for our country and our leaders every day, I encourage you to make that a priority. Because those guys are faced with questions and situations and problems that you and I don't even know. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our country. I mean, God says it right here. I will make the land. I will heal their land. America's broken. And I hate to say it, but our forefathers had God in everything. And our today, we have taken God out of just about everything except for church. Pray for America. Pray that we can get back to living like that flag was meant to live, honoring God, living for God. And as a church, you know, pray for the church. Not necessarily just our church. Pray for the church because that's where the change is going to happen. If enough people in church get excited and pray about America, I can't say it like Lindsay can, but if we have enough churches and people that are praying for America, that God will come and heal our land, how can we lose? How can we lose? Is it going to get any worse? Probably not. So my challenge is for you this week, and not just this week, the rest of your life, hopefully, is to pray for our country and our leaders. You know, if you need proof of what can be done with prayer, I'm just going to share a few names, Bible stories we all should know. But these guys were put in bad situations, and the first thing they did was pray. Daniel in the lion's den. Anybody ever been thrown in the lion's den? I hope you never did. First thing he did was get on his knees and pray. God took care of it. How about Moses? Moses led a group of people that were in slavery for hundreds of years out of slavery, and about 30 minutes into the trip, they were complaining. That's a little bit of a stretch. But read Exodus, because, man, Moses prayed all the time, and Moses come down and saw these guys had turned. He was up on the mountain, and he come down, and these guys had just turned into a bunch of heathens. Kind of where we're at in America. Read that story. I think you'll find it applies today. Probably my favorite one about how great we could be with prayer is when they marched the walls of Jericho, played trumpets, screamed, did exactly what God, that plan was well thought and well prayed out. All they had to do was follow the details. And this city came tumbling down. That is the power of prayer. That is the power of our God. And I hope that America realizes and we get back to building around what God wants. So with that, praise band is going to come and sing a song, and Les and Jess and I will be here. And if you need prayer, please come. If you have a situation in your life that you can't get your hands around, and guys, our forefathers knew it. Center our lives around God and let Him have it. So we'll be here to pray if you need anything. You know, that being said, please pray for these three guys, for Les, Jesse, myself, and our wives and families. And we don't take leadership of the church for granted. And we try to do what God wants to do in that situation. So just keep us in prayer. And also, we haven't said anything for a long time, but in your bulletins, there's a little stub here. If you have something that you want just the elders to pray about, or just whatever, feel free to put it in there and give it to one of us. If it says on there, elders only, it's not going in the bulletin. All right? Make America great again. There's only one way to do it. That's through the cross and through Jesus. Of a storm.
Amen. Have a great week this week. Enjoy the holiday with your families. Be safe and fireworks.
Amen.
I don't know if anybody says them all, but keep your hands down. All right. Have a great week, church, and we'll see everybody next week.
I've never heard them from Ontario before.